Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Today we have not a guest, but a leader in this house who helps to anchor and lead our men's ministry and also leads our community services and the special projects that we do within this church. I'm so thankful that for the gift that he and his beautiful wife, Helen, are to this house. And so I think that this man is a great example of everything that he's about to share with us with regards to how to love our neighbor in practical ways. So won't you please give it up for Henry Peterson as he comes to share the word of God this morning. Come on, bro.
Good morning. You know, I was thinking about this as I was sitting there. You know, the worst part of it is when you see the countdown, you know, the timer going down, you're like, 3, 2, 1, you know, that's happening. Today, I just want to say that my training wheels are coming off today. And thank you to Pastor Nelly. And you know when your training wheels first come off, right? It's a bit, you know? Okay, so here's the warning for you. There might be some today, okay? But ask for the Holy Spirit to help you reveal those things to you, okay? Is that okay? Are you ready? Are you excited about today? Okay, so neighbors, okay? We're going to be, so Pastor Nelly started to unpack Luke 10 last week, right? The story of the Good Samaritan. And we're going to stay right here, okay? So I'm going to read from Luke 10, verse 25, okay? Here we go. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." Everyone say heart. "And with all your soul. And with all your strength. And with all your mind. And your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But he, the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan," everyone say Samaritan, "as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" And he said, "The man who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for your word that is truth, that is alive. Lord, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll come and have your way in this place. Reveal your word to each and every person here that is ready to receive from you this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. Amen. Okay, so I'm just going to do a quick review of Pastor Nelly's message last week, okay? Excellent. Okay, so who is my neighbor? Okay, so the first thing that I want to highlight for us from is love God, love people. Everyone say love God, love people. And so this is the lawyer, right? This is this lawyer. He comes across and he quotes the law, something that he's very familiar with. And he comes up and says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." Love God, love people. These 4 words sum up what that whole command is, right? Love God, love people. You know, I like what Pastor Nelly said last week. The proof of the way that someone loves God is in the way that they love other people, right? Man, when he saw that, it was like, psst, me. I was like, oh yes, that's right, that's right. You know, the second thing I want to highlight is this. There we go. God places compassion in us to move us towards broken people. God places compassion in us to move us towards broken people. You know, now I'm going to use this a little bit later again, okay, as part of the message. So keep this in mind, right? Hold a thought. Say, placeholder. Okay, God is placing compassion in us. God places compassion in us too, you know, and that's done through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? He is our counselor, our guide, our helper in the everyday part of our lives, right? He's there for us to tap into him. But how many of us actually tap into him? It went quiet. How many of us actually tap into what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do through and through us? Yes. Come on. It is the compassion that God places in us for the people that we see them the way that God sees them, you know? But today, we're here today, and the title of my message this morning is this: Engaging with My Neighbor. Engaging with my neighbor. So today I'm going to unpack how we can engage with our neighbor, okay? And we're going to look at the example of the Good Samaritan and see how he did it, you know? And then at the end, I'm going to give you some initiatives that are happening right here in our church of people engaging in our community as well, okay? So we're going to stay right here in Luke 10, but I want to focus on one particular verse, and that's on verse 33. It says, "But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion." So as we look at this, we're going to, three questions. Everyone say three questions. Three questions then that are the three key things that this Samaritan did that I think we need to ask ourselves today as well, okay? So let's look at that first part. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. The first question that I want to ask us is, do we go to where they are? Do we go to where they are? You know, we're all on a journey. We're all doing life, right? Whether you're a student, whether you're a parent, whether you're a whatever, you are running a lane in life, right? You with me? So the question is this: do we go to where our neighbors are? Do we involve ourselves in the life that we're living? You know, because sometimes we can just get caught up in our own little world and we lock ourselves away in our own house. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In our own house. Come on, we've been called to go out and make disciples of people, right? So we need to be out there. You know, whatever your interests are, whatever you're involved with in life, in community, be out there with the people. And this is what the Samaritan did. He was going about his life. He was doing his life, and then he comes across this man, right? He comes across this injured man. Do you go to places where you engage with people where they're injured? People that are hurt, people that are broken. And I might offend some people right now, but Facebook is not counted as engaging with people. Sorry, I'm going to step over here. Okay. Facebook is not counted as engaging with people. Facebook, can I just break it down for you, okay? It's your thumbs engaging with a device that is connected to another person at the end of another device. That's not the type of engagement I'm talking about. The type of engagement I'm talking about is face-to-face, where you're sitting down with someone to have over a coffee, over a meal, whether you're at the mall, whether you're at the gym, whether you're in a school, you know, wherever you are, in a park, whatever, and you're sitting down with them, and you can see them. You can see them, you can hear them, and you can touch them. Hey, 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 this is my wife, okay? Honest, this is my wife, see it here. But I'm telling you, okay, that's the sort of engagement I'm talking about, okay? Physical, face-to-face. Hey, we're at the face-to-face for the couples, for the married couples. You better be there, married couples. Okay, so are we going to where our neighbors are? Are we going to where they are? Okay, so that's a picture of my son's soccer team. Okay, so about 3 weeks ago, the coach, he sends out an email because, you know, he's got the email of all the parents on there. He sends out an email and he says, "Hey, everyone, unfortunately, our manager for the team has had to step down because of work commitments. And so I'm writing to you, everyone, to ask, is there someone out there that is able to step into the role of manager?" And you know what? There was this battle going on in here, in my head and in my heart. In my head, it was telling me, "No, Henry, don't do it. Don't do it, Henry. It's just another responsibility. It's just another thing you're going to have to do. Don't do it. You don't need to do this, Henry. Come on." But in my heart, I just felt like there was this tugging. There was this slight prodding towards, "Come on, Henry. This is for you, Henry. You got to do this." And so there was this constant battle in my head and in my heart. And about 24 hours later, I thought to myself, okay, I need to do something about this. This is driving me crazy. And so I thought, I would do the nice thing. I thought I would do the nice thing, and I'll just respond to the email because I'm a nice guy like that. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to respond in an email to the coach, and I say, "Hey, coach, you know, if no one has taken the opportunity of, you know, becoming the manager, then yeah, I'll put my hand up with the complete intention, the anticipation in my head that there's already someone doing it. There's already someone that's responded to it. So I'm just being the nice guy, you know. That was my thinking in my little head up here. 2 minutes later, I get the email, ding, and I look at it. Thank you, Henry. Thank you for taking the role. And I was like, oh, no. But you know what? You know what? Deep down, it was like, okay, God, what are you bringing? What are you going to show me through this? What's the reason why you have allowed this door to open up, God? Not like that, you know. Thank you, God. Thank you. So I was the manager, and yesterday was my first day on the job as the manager. Yeah, boy. And so, you know, it was a really great day. It was the first day on the job, man. And I was late. Gosh. Because we, you know, we have other things that happen in the morning. I've got to get there and stuff. And so we get there, and you know, I'm just looking at it in terms of the opportunity that God has given me to be a manager in this team. And you know what the funny thing is, when over the past couple of weeks, since I got that email to say, yeah, go for it, over the past couple of weeks, my attitude at training, you know, because I go to my son's training and the games have been totally different. Because before, when I went to training, I would be, okay, son, go to training. Engaging with people. You know, that was me. But now that I'm the manager, not because I'm the manager, but no, now it's because I know that God's placed me there for a purpose, to communicate, to engage with people. And so I'm going around, hey, how's it going? Hi, my name's Henry. I'm the new manager around here, you know. And so I'm trying to connect with people, you know. I'm just trying to be involved in the atmosphere that God has placed me in that environment that God has placed me in. That's what God placed me there for, you know. I thought, oh, man, you know, God, why is this? But I thought, nah, God's opened this opportunity for me to be able to connect with people, man, honestly. And so it's awesome. You know, I'm loving it. Okay, so the first thing, come on, we've got to keep moving. Are we going to where our neighbors are? You know, for me, it's about being part of my son's soccer team as a manager. Yeah, okay. So for you, you may be a mom. You may be in a mom's playgroup, okay? Be part of it. Be there. Be that light in that place. Okay? You know, don't just go there like it's a burden to you, like you're carrying something. Oh, I don't really want to be here. Come on. But you, if you have the power of the Holy Spirit living in you, then you need to turn up, man. Turn up with an attitude of, I'm ready to be a witness for Christ in this place, right? Same to students. Same to everybody. That's all of us, right? The next one. And when he saw him, next part of verse 33, and when he saw him. So our question to us in this one is, do we see them? Everybody say, do we see them? Who am I talking about? Okay, this Samaritan, man, he saw him. He made eye contact with them. Yeah, the Levite, he saw. He didn't really saw. He just looked and then carried on. The priest, he just saw and carried on. But the Samaritan, he saw. And now there's a difference here, okay? There's a difference between looking and seeing. Okay, there's a difference between looking and seeing, and that is awareness. Awareness. When we're seeing, we're aware of that person's situation. We see that, and it's like, oh, okay, there's something not right here. You got to ask that question if you are seeing them. When you don't see them, you don't see them. You don't have that awareness about you. You just think, oh, okay, thank you. Oh yeah, that's good. They're all right. You know, awareness. Seeing, you know, I'm reminded of how David was seen by God, right? Man was looking at the outer appearance, but God sees directly into our hearts. God sees directly into our hearts. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. I pray that we will see people, that we will not just look at them and gaze over them, but that we would see them, see that situation that they're in, see them through God's eyes. Amen? Do we see them? And the third thing that happens, which is pretty important to this whole situation playing out the way that it does, is this. He had compassion. Do we have compassion? You see, this is something that Pastor Nelly quoted last week. And I love this, man. Another one. God places compassion in us to move us towards broken people. God places compassion in us to move us towards broken people. You know, when our eyes see, when our eyes are made aware, when our eyes are honed in on these people, the compassion that God has placed in each and every one of us should get ignited. It should get ignited, okay? Should get ignited. And then this connection, the supernatural connection of our eyes looking and our compassion in our hearts coming together. And you know what that does? That should force us to move forward towards them. It should force us to move towards them and say, hey, is everything all right? Are you okay? Is there something that I can help you with? That compassion, the Samaritan had it. It ignited in him, and then it initiated this movement, this action towards the man. Matthew 16, verse 13 says this, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Our eyes are blessed when we can see people and things the way that God sees them. So when we go to our neighbors and when we see them, this should ignite this compassion in us, right? It should ignite this compassion in us to move towards them, to take some action towards them and see and ask them, hey, how can I help? Each and every one of us has the life-giving power of Jesus living in you. And when we step out and move towards them, there's an opportunity for them to see it in and through us, right? Come on. Yeah? So why? Why doesn't our compassion get ignited? I don't know. It's your choice. That's what it is. It's a choice. So here's the challenge for us today. Will we go to where they are? Will we see them? Will compassion be ignited in us? You know, I understand that all of us are at different phases and walks of life, where we are. You know, and some of us may be struggling with or wrestling with that very idea of going out and talking to people. Yeah, I know what it's like too. I couldn't say boo to people before. You know what? You're standing there. You know, you're standing around a group of people and I'm like, sup? Honest, that was me, man. But you know what brought me across that line? Was the realization of this, that Christ didn't just die for me. He died for all people. For all people. And so what Christ had given to me, it's my responsibility to share that with those people around me, wherever God leads me, amen? And if that means me having to step out of my comfort zone and into the unknown zone, then hey, Holy Spirit, help me out, you know? That's a good place to be at. That's going to build our faith. That's going to build our trust in God, that God has this under control, right? You know, sometimes we think that, oh, but I like hanging out with my church friends. That's cool for a time because we're called to go out into the world and make disciples, right? You know? So I like how Pastor Nelly puts that holy huddle thing, you know? That's so cool. You know, all of us, let's go, let's go. Hallelujah. Yes, we're going to do it. And the people are standing right there. And we're in our holy little huddle. Yes, yes, hallelujah. Yes, you are a mighty man of God. You're a mighty woman of God. You can do this. You can do this. I believe in you. God believes in you. And we're still here. And the people are still standing there. After years of us still in this huddle, they're gone. And then we turn around. Yes, we're ready to take you. Where's everybody gone? Come on. We need to get up and get out there. God has already empowered you. God has filled you up. Some of you are bursting at the seams. You need to get out there and tell somebody about what Jesus has done in your life, right? But then there may be some of us, right, that we don't see the people, right? We don't see the people in their situations. It just doesn't register with us at times. So we don't have that awareness yet. Our eyes don't get caught by what they look like or what they're going through. You know, for me, I went through something like that too. And the battle for me was up here in my head. It was up here in my head. You know, because I'm the type of person that was like trying to strategize and plan out the whole process in my head, you know. Oh, this has to happen, you know. Okay, so if I say, you know, go up and say hello to them, they might come back and say, oh, you know, so what do you do? And, you know, the whole conversation might go, and then they might want to hang out with me, but I don't really want to hang out with them. And so, you know, if they go down that alley, what can I do? Well, maybe I can ask them, oh, so whereabouts do you live? And, you know, then they might ask, oh yeah, I live over in so-and-so. And then they might have an expectation that I need to come over to their house or something, you know. And this is all happening in my head. And you know what's happening there? I'm giving myself excuses. I'm making excuses for myself. And I even have said boo to the person next to me that I'm supposed to be talking to. We can get so caught up with the battle in our head that we don't see them because we're so focused on ourselves and our situation. You know, I've been guilty of it, man. I'm preaching to myself up here. Let's take our eyes. You know, sometimes it's good to take our eyes off of ourselves and really see someone else that is right in front of us that may need, you know, a word of encouragement or maybe just a coffee or just an ear to listen to them, you know? And then there may be others of us, again, that, yes, they don't mind going out and meeting people. They don't mind going out, going to where they are, or they don't mind going out, you know, and they see the people. They see the people and the needs in front of them. But the compassion doesn't get ignited in them. They just see it and it's like, oh, yeah. Oh, I'll pray for you. That compassion in them is dull. The connection with the eyes and their heart is broken. And so nothing ever happens with them moving towards that person and asking them. There's someone who can mend that. There's someone who can mend that for you. His name is Jesus. To ignite the compassion in us. It's a choice. It's a choice we make. It is a choice for us to see and feel compassion for people that will initiate a movement towards them. It's a choice we make. We choose if we're going to feel compassion for someone. So on that point, I want to share with you a couple of initiatives that are happening right here in our community. And these are people who are out there, who have gone to where our neighbors are, who have seen them, and they're engaging with them. And the first one is Vanessa, the lady in the yellow t-shirt. She's been going onto the streets of Brisbane for the last couple of years, and she's just been going and talking with people, and she goes and takes gift packs for them, you know, and she offers it to these people, on the homeless people on the streets in our city, right here. She does that every fortnight. It's an amazing thing. You know, a lot of us have had an opportunity of going out there and being part of that. Our men's ministry has been out. You know, a lot of you have been out as well. It's a great opportunity to be able to go out and minister and share and just be a listening ear for these people that don't have not much. But she is someone that is engaging with the community out there, with our neighbors. The next one I want to talk about is Silverbacks. This is headed by Ray and Siosi. So they head Silverbacks, and it's over on the south side of Logan. Yeah. And so they use fitness. Oh, we use fitness. You know, as a team, we use fitness to connect with the community. And it's awesome, you know, in terms of people come there for a workout. They love the environment, the atmosphere that's created there. But, you know, one of my favorite parts of our workouts is at the end where we get to plant a seed of a word of encouragement for our people. And you can just see it in their eyes that they accept, man, I needed to hear that. You know, I needed to hear that. And that's part of what Ray and Siosi and their team are doing in Logan. They're engaging with the neighbors out there in Logan, right? Here's another one. My Story 61. The lovely Lily. So she is the one, man, they use drama, music, performing arts to tell stories, to make an impact, to make a, you know, to encourage people in their purpose, to make a real difference in their lives. And that, you know, they're doing an amazing thing in that. You know, they've got a show coming up in a couple of weeks' time. But yeah, okay, that's it. But also, you know, me and our family, we had the opportunity of going to Samoa earlier this year to be part of their team. And man, for me personally, it was a time of healing, restoration, and faith building. That's what I would say. Faith building. So, Lily, thank you for the great work that you're doing there. But my story 61 is engaging with our neighbors out there. Amen? And this last one here. This is headed by a couple of men in our church right here. And that's Joe and Charles Harder. They go into the prison out in Waco every week. And they disciple men that are in there. They do Bible studies and run discipleship for these men. And they have seen some awesome transformations, some amazing stories of these men. Some of these men have even ended up coming here and visiting here. You know? But these guys, they are engaging with the neighbors, with our neighbors. These are our neighbors right here in our city. So what about you? Here's the challenge for us. Will we go out to where they are? Will we see them? Will we have that awareness of them and what they're going through? Will compassion be ignited in us so that action and movement towards them will happen so that we can engage with them?
Will we go where they are? Will we see them? Will compassion be ignited? Now, here's the thing, guys. It's impossible to see that in our lives without first seeing that Christ had all three of these met in his own life towards us. So number one, will we go where they are? How many of you know Jesus came where we are, right? Number two, will we see them? How many of you know Christ sees you in your brokenness? Where there is a need of healing today, God sees you. And number three, will compassion be ignited? How many of you know compassion was so heavily ignited in the heart of Jesus that he took upon himself a cruel cross so that we would no longer have to suffer the wrath that was due to us, but he took it upon his shoulders when he died upon the cross so that we wouldn't have to face that. That's the message of the gospel. All three of those criteria were met with flying colors by Jesus Christ himself. Firstly, towards you. He knows where you are, and he came from heaven to earth to go where you are. He sees you, and his compassion was so ignited in him that he took upon himself the cross.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.